Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. This is Dr. Carol Myers from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Today, we're talking about breakfast and what to believe about the various breakfast studies you read about. We now have breakfast available 24 hours a day at fast food and other food outlets. What you call breakfast and what I call breakfast can be vastly different. How can we digest all the hype about breakfast when we don't even have a common definition? I'm pleased to be joined today in the studio by Dr. Holly Rayner from the UT Department of Nutrition. Dr. Rayner is a registered dietitian and a licensed psychologist. She looks at lifestyle interventions for pediatric and adult weight management. Also in the studio today is my co-host, Brandon Hollingsworth.
If you grew up in post-war America, you were raised to believe breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Our parents told us this, commercials, teachers, other people, and so frequently that it feels like common knowledge. Dr. Rayner, how does a dietitian look at breakfast? How is it defined from where you sit?
That is such a good question. Within the field, we actually don't have a definition of breakfast. From a research perspective, what we generally think about is the time of day, and then the size from an energy perspective of how much you're consuming. So some rough definitions that we use are consuming something before 10 a.m. and then eating a size of food or beverage that at least has 25 to 50 calories. So from a research perspective, we often will use those types of definitions, but there is no standard definition. As you can imagine, depending on your sleep habits, you may not be eating at 10 a.m., just depending on when you wake up. And it's not uncommon for people to not be hungry in the morning, depending on when their eating was occurring the day before, so their last sort of occasion of eating. So people will say, well, I had breakfast and this is what it was, and that may not fit within the definition that I just provided also. So it varies tremendously.
So if I have an alternate schedule, what's kind of the generic rule that we should eat within how many hours of arising? Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned calories. I'd like to explore that a little bit more.
As we have a better understanding that sleep is important for our health, and that as we also better understand that our sleeping and our eating may be related, there is more emphasis that your first eating occasion should be tied more closely to when you wake up. But there is no sort of like, oh, it should be within an hour, it should be within 2 hours. So we just don't have that information yet, unfortunately. But it is believed that it should be close to that rising time. And in terms of the amount or the size, from a appetite, you know, feeling full and that kind of thing, in general, we feel that eating something of about, you know, 200, 250 calories is something in which your body will go like, oh yeah, I'm registering that I ate something. When it's smaller than that, it's harder for our body to potentially register that in terms of like being hungry or full. The other component, which really may be many people's breakfast, liquid, people don't get as full from that. So if your breakfast is predominantly a beverage and it's got energy in it, you may not feel as full as if it was actually solid food.
So I'm scratching my head. 250 calories. What would be a good breakfast within those guidelines? Because the things I'm thinking about, I better at least three times more.
I think that when people think of traditional breakfast, so things like, you know, pancakes and eggs and bacon and toast, that is generally larger than 200 to 250 calories. So that is a very small breakfast. So that might be like a cup of oatmeal and some milk or juice, and that would be it. Even a bagel that you would buy at Panera, and if you've got anything on it, would be much more than 200 to 250 calories. So you're right, that is a very small, you know, or like a cup of cereal and some milk. That is a small amount.
Now, you alluded to this a moment ago, that the differences between what people think of as breakfast. So my breakfast, if I'm at Waffle House or Cracker Barrel, is going to look a lot different than if I'm having a bowl of cereal or a bagel at home. Is there an ideal for what kinds of foods we need to eat for breakfast?
Not specifically, but certainly if the choices that you're consuming help an individual meet what we generally consider to fit within the dietary guidelines, those would be more healthy breakfasts. So that would be, though, foods that don't have a lot of additional, like, solid fats or added sugars. So that begins to cut out things like muffins and mm-hmm. pancakes and waffles. We do generally think that a breakfast that has a bit more protein in it may be helpful in terms of people feeling full. So that might mean eggs may be helpful for individuals, or like yogurt or a dairy product. But certainly, you know, whole grains or fruits and vegetables, those types of things would be considered to be healthier than those solid fats and added sugars.
Well, then that takes me to the core of our discussion today. If you grew up in the U.S. in the last 60 years, you got a pretty strong message. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So at a fundamental level, is that true? Is it as important as so many of us were led to believe?
The data are not consistent. From a health perspective or a weight management perspective, the data vary tremendously, and we do think that that's probably a consequence of some of the factors that we've been talking about. So potentially what is being consumed, when is being consumed, et cetera. We also now, with newer thoughts about things that may be important for health, which go back to these issues of sleep, it may be the overall pattern of what you're eating during the day that may be important. So it's not just breakfast, but also what's occurring later in the day, both in terms of types of foods and quantity and when it's occurring. So it's more complicated, unfortunately, than what we initially potentially hoped.
When we think about children and breakfast, we talk about breakfast improving children's school performance, and then for older adults, we talk about it improving cognitive functioning, which may be the same pathway. Is there any evidence about the relationship between eating upon arising and jumpstarting your thinking and your ability to perform?
The evidence in this area has mostly looked at acute effects, so immediately after consumption of breakfast, in comparison to like a fasting state where you haven't consumed anything since the day before. And even within that work, it's very inconsistent. The one area that potentially, in a sense, has a stronger, I guess, signal that there may be an effect there is especially in children who are undernourished, that having breakfast may be more helpful in terms of cognitive performance in those individuals. But again, it's inconsistent enough, unfortunately, that we're not sure.
So Dr. Rayner, another thing we commonly hear about the value of breakfast is that by bringing those calories on board, we send a message that we have ample calories, and therefore we burn those calories and we don't store them as fat on our body, hence the connection to weight management and breakfast. Is there science to support that?
It does look like that our body may, in a sense, digest and absorb and metabolize food slightly differently in the morning. But what looks more promising in terms of weight management is sort of the overall balance of the day. So it does look like that if we eat more energy earlier in the day and less energy later in the day, that may be helpful for weight management. So it's not just about breakfast, it's also what's occurring later in the day. Now, unfortunately for most Americans, we eat the opposite way. So we usually eat a small amount in the morning and we eat more of our energy later in the day. So making that switch, there's definitely more research that's coming out that suggests that that may be helpful.
So our listeners are going, it's not as black and white as I had hoped. What advice do you have for our listeners when it comes to breakfast and the other meals, and maybe just an overall healthier lifestyle?
Research would suggest that if you have more, believe it or not, what we call structured eating is usually helpful for people. Eating whatever your meals and snacks are, having them generally at the same consistent times during the day, and eating similar types of foods for most people actually is very, very helpful for weight management. I would say that the evidence does suggest that eating, especially later in the day, like snacking late in the evening, it's very rare for anybody to find that to be beneficial for health. And then what happens for many people, which goes back to your comment about not feeling hungry in the morning, we do know that if you eat much later in the day or into the evening, you are going to wake up not hungry. So again, it's like you have to sort of shift sort of the balance of where you're eating if you actually are going to be hungry in the morning. So again, structure, consistency, and probably not as much snacking or eating late at night is probably going to be helpful for people.
So we shouldn't think of breakfast as an obligation. It's the opposite of the message we've gotten so consistently about breakfast being so important. If you don't feel like eating, you don't have to make yourself. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I would agree that we don't have the evidence to say that breakfast has to be eaten.
Well, Dr. Rayner, a lot of things to think about, and maybe since I did eat breakfast this morning, Brandon, I can process those thoughts a little better. Thank you for this informative session and for helping us to demystify the evidence about breakfast.
You can tweet us at WUOTFM or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/healthconnectionstn. Dr. Myers, see you in 2 weeks.
Looking forward to it, as always.